Hello, I'm Jay, and I'm going to be talking about a meta-object protocol that I built for a new Common Lisp implementation called CL for Java. It runs on the JVM. CL for Java is a project taking place at the College of Charleston in South Carolina. It's an educational project primarily for teaching software engineering to the students, and a side effect is a Common Lisp implementation, hopefully, one day. It's been going on for several years now, and it's actually made a lot of progress recently. It's intended to simulate the size and complexity of an industrial project for the students that take the classes. It's a capstone course for CS majors and minors, providing opportunities for some of the best computer science students at the College of Charleston to demonstrate their abilities on complex problems. It's provided several independent studies, bachelor's essays, and one master's project, and this is the master's project. Some of the project goals for CL for Java. One is to create a new implementation of Common Lisp running on the JVM. But another one, and maybe it's not so much less important, is to intertwine Java and Lisp so that programmers can access the other language. Programmers in either Java or Lisp can access over the wall to the other language. And of course, another goal is to create some new Lisp converts. It started in 2003, and it runs each semester. 6 to 25 students per semester. It was unveiled at ILC 2005. If any of you were here, you might have seen one or both of the papers that were presented then. And by now, enough works that the Java-based compiler that was written originally can be replaced by one written entirely by Lisp. Hopefully there'll be a release version around 0.7 in 3 or 4 more semesters, and at that point it'll be an open source project. I was tasked with implementing CLOSE in CL for Java. Most of you, I'm sure, know what CLOSE is, so I won't spend much time here. But what I do want to do is talk about some of the differences between the Common Lisp object system and the Java object system, since those differences are going to play a large role in how I go about merging these two object systems. I picked 3 to show on this slide, but there are almost an infinite number of differences. Let's talk about 3 really big differences. Multiple dispatch is a big difference. In Java, most of you probably know that when a method is sent, there is an implicit single receiver for that method always. In Common Lisp object system, the idea of a receiver almost doesn't make sense because the dispatching happens outside of the classes, and you can dispatch on more than one receiver. You can have any number of specializers in the method that define what method body is in fact called, or bodies. In Common Lisp, you have multiple inheritance by class, and in Java you don't. I'm going to talk about how we get around that in our implementation of CLOSE. And a big difference is that in Java you can't redefine classes, and in CLOSE that's part of the specification. So our implementation will have to figure out a way to get around that as well. One of the big goals of CL for Java, as I mentioned before, is to intertwine Lisp and Java. And the root of this intertwining, I think, is expressed in this parallel set of type hierarchies. Common Lisp has, of course, this scary-looking graph of type hierarchies. Types inherit multiply from other types, and it's a big, ugly, acyclic graph. in Java, we're able to maintain a parallel set of types by using interfaces. So they're interfaces act as placeholders for the common list of types. Interfaces can inherit multiply because interfaces don't have any implementation associated with them. So Java has provided interfaces to us as a way of letting types inherit multiply, and we use that to represent the type system from common list. So when we intertwine, what our goal is to allow Java programmers to use Lisp, like I show in the first code example. In this example, you're replacing the car of a list with one. It's a little ugly, but the goal isn't to make it so that you can write Lisp programs in Java. We're not trying to replace one language with the other. What we're doing, what we're hoping to do, is just allow you to access the other language when you need to. And of course, we also hope that if you write Lisp, you can write Lisp programs as well as you would in any other common Lisp implementation, or better, because you have access to, of course, all the Java libraries. The second code example shows the same type of thing happening in the other direction. It's a Lisp programmer accessing Java system constructs. Once again, it's probably uglier than the equivalent Java code, but we're not trying to replace one with the other. Close in CL for Java will hopefully preserve this intertwining mantra that I keep bringing up, and I'll continue to bring up. And when I talk about intertwining, I sometimes talk about something we call transparency, and I think we've confused some people in the past about what we mean by transparency, because we're not trying to make it so that a Java programmer can act like these close constructs or regular Java classes. We're going to have to throw away certain Java primitive keywords like new, and in certain cases, the instance of primitive keyword, because we're not trying to use syntactic tricks to allow the Java programmer to code just the way he always did and use close. That's not what we mean by transparent. What we do mean by transparent is being able to get over the wall when you want to, being able to see into the other side. So most of you also probably know what a meta-object protocol is, but I'm going to briefly introduce the concept. In this case, it's going to be a close program that implements close. That is to say that the entities that will become the basis for our common list object system will be described by a common list object system program. It's sort of like, it might be called meta-close, close about close. Classes are just objects like any other objects. They're instances of classes. Classes actually are instances of a special class called standard class. We'll talk about it more later. And the meta-object protocol, in addition to this this architecture that's described by the common list object system, it also includes this carefully defined set of protocols which define the behavior of these meta-objects. When we were starting this project, implementing close for CL for Java, we started by just trying to get the behavior using normal Java constructs, building a Java class for standard class, then maybe building a Java class for the generic function and standard method, and all these types that exist in the close meta object hierarchy. And we quickly realized we needed something closer to a meta object protocol, but we still wanted to incorporate as much of the Java object system as we can. That's part of this intertwining goal. We want to keep Java semantics where we can. We want to let the Java programmer be able to access Java objects in ways that hopefully will be somewhat familiar. And so we ended up dividing our possible approaches into three. One, the first approach would be to just implement close entirely in Lisp. We could have brought over any number of MOP implementations that have already been written in Lisp that are available, and we could just run them on CL for Java, which is a common Lisp implementation. And that would work and maybe be the easiest approach, but it wouldn't benefit the Java programmer at all. And our goal, as I keep repeating, is to intertwine the languages and support both sides of the wall. Another approach could be to use this some special Java code, maybe a special compiler even, to implement a meta object protocol in Java. This has, I think, been done or attempted several times. There are a few meta object protocol attempts for the Java virtual machine. And I believe more often than not they use a special compiler, and we hope we don't need to do that. We want to be able to make use of legacy Java code that was compiled elsewhere. And we also want to benefit the Lisp programmer, as I mentioned. So what we hope is the smartest way and the way that we intend to build close is to do what I wrote in number three, which is attempt to merge the two object systems. We want to build a meta object protocol and bring in as much of Java as we can. So that's what we set out to do. The AMOP, the Art of the Meta Object Protocol, which was a book that described, I believe it was the first formal description of a meta object protocol for close. It describes a program called Closette, which is a sort of a toy implementation of close. And that's perfectly good for start. But like I mentioned, we want to use Java. And Java doesn't have a MOP per se, but it does have a clearly defined set of rules for object behavior. So we want to, the structure that we're going to build is a CL for Java MOP that's intertwined with the existing Java system. And the first job in doing that is to figure out a way to represent close instances. We spent a lot of time at the whiteboard, and usually at the end of one of these sessions I would take a picture with my camera phone and go home and try to code what we've been discussing and describing and drawing, and then we'd be back at it again the next day from starting from scratch. But this structure kept appearing in our drawings, and we started calling it the backbone structure. It just typically looked the same every time. And we kept calling it the backbone structure, and we still do. It's what we call a close instance. And even though it doesn't look at all like what it looked like then, we still call it the backbone structure. And what we mean by that is the actual implementation of a close instance, as opposed to the conception of one. The structure of our instance is going to be an attempt to merge this traditional conception of a close instance with the explicit implementation of a Java instance, the one that we've already got, the one that the JVM provides us with. Close instances are traditionally described as pairs. On one half, you have the class of that instance. Every instance has a class, and all there are instances. And on the other half, you have the slots of the class. When you instantiate the class, those slots will become places for instance storage. The Java instance is typically or explicitly implemented as an n-tuple of fields. And when we landed on a structure that we liked, it looked like this. It was the two-tuple that I described before, the pair. And you still have a reference to the close class on one half, and on the other half you're referring to this Java instance that we're going to use to represent our slots. I'm going to show you an example now. I don't know if...
Can you read it? Okay.
In the example, I'm showing standard class and a rectangle, an instance of standard class, a rectangle class in close, and then an instance of that rectangle class, a little rectangle. On the far left is standard class, and you can see that its close class points to itself. It's the one instance of standard class that's called standard class. You can't have more than that. And then its Java instance, points to a Java object, which is an instance of a class called standard class impl. Standard class impl is the implementation of standard class on the Java side, and it actually holds all those fields that standard class, that all classes need to have, a field for named, field for direct superclasses, direct subclasses, and so on. When you instantiate a standard class in order to create a class such as rectangle, you have a similar object, and you have another backbone, a close instance. But this time it's an instance of standard class, and it's what we think of as a user-defined class. It has a close class like all instances do, and that points back to standard class. It also has a Java instance, an object that represents its slots. And in this case, its name isn't standard class anymore, its name is rectangle. That's how we'll find out this class's name if we ever need to. Its direct superclasses are standard objects. Every user-defined class has standard object as its direct superclass by default. And it has all the other fields that any class has. Now, at the bottom of these class slots, you'll see a field called Java class. It represents a new slot in close called Java class that standard class will have in our implementation. That's a pointer to an actual Java class object that's going to be used whenever you instantiate an instance of this class. So if you look at the first on the far left, if you look at standard class, you'll see at the bottom its Java class is a pointer to itself. When you instantiate any class, you're going to look to standard class impl, the Java class that's used to implement this instantiative behavior, and you're going to create one, and that's how we created rectangle. Now, if you look at the bottom of rectangle, when we created this rectangle close class, we generated a new Java class. This new Java class is what's going to be used to instantiate little rectangles when we instantiate them. At the bottom, you see that this Java class is a pointer to a class called rectangle impl in Java. And when you instantiate it, you get yet another close instance. It looks like all the others. It has a close class pointing to rectangle because that's what it is. It's an instance of rectangle. And then it has a Java instance pointing to the instance of rectangle impl that got instantiated when we created this instance of the close rectangle class. It has two fields in the Java object, X and Y. Those correspond to the slots that we defined for the rectangle close class. Now when we create these objects, we end up with these parallel interface hierarchies that I described before. And in this example, I'm going to show us multiply inheriting to create a colored rectangle. We first define a simple class called color. It doesn't have any slots or any superclasses, so it gets standard object by default. Next, we create a class called shape. It's the same. It doesn't have any slots or superclasses. And then finally, we create this colored rectangle. It's going to inherit both from color and from shape, and it's not going to have any slots, because what we're interested in is seeing how we're going to implement that multiple inheritance. When we define these classes in CL for Java, what happens automatically is that three interfaces and three classes are generated. The classes are on the left, and the interfaces in this example are on the right. First, I'll talk about the interfaces, color, shape, and Java. I mean, excuse me, color, shape, and colored rectangle are three interfaces. Color and shape will be the super interfaces of colored rectangle. It can inherit from both. Color impl and shape impl will also be generated. They will be the classes that implement those top two interfaces. And finally, colored rectangle impl.java will be generated, and it will implement the interface that extends both of those super interfaces. When this is done, we have a class that multiply inherits as far as our type system is concerned. It doesn't need to have the methods in close because methods aren't associated with classes anyway. So we can keep the methods elsewhere and the dispatch elsewhere. We have a lot of restrictions due to Java. We encountered a lot of restrictions, and one of the big ones is the inability to define Java class, redefine Java classes. The JVM doesn't allow redefinition of classes, and we don't try to get around that. In other words, we don't try to redefine any Java classes. We certainly allow closed classes to be redefined. We have to in order to implement the specification. But we don't try to get around the fact that Java classes can't be redefined. We might be able to if we used a custom compiler, but we don't. There's also the inability to change the class of a Java instance. It's a related restriction from the JVM. We don't try to get around it either. And we leave behind the primitives that I mentioned before, new and instance of. It would be nice if we could use them, but closed classes aren't going to be treated exactly like Java classes by the Java programmer. He won't be able to see the class of a closed instance by calling instance of. He'll have to use the close method for finding the class of an instance. Or else he can get the Java instance out himself if he knows that it's there. Fun callable things in CL for Java have traditionally been implemented by implementing this Java interface function. It's part of that parallel hierarchy that I talked about before. And when you implement the Java interface function, you get the methods necessary for applying that function. We do the same thing in our implementation for close, for fun callable entities. But we do it a little bit differently because the backbone structure that acts as a sort of wrapper for the class, it cannot be redefined. That's why we use it to add a level of indirection between the actual Java implementation of the close class and the programmer. He has to go through the backbone so that when we switch or redefine a class, we can simply replace the Java instance. Well, one thing that we can't do is make that backbone fun callable when you want it to be. In close, when an object becomes fun callable, you can use it like a function, or you can fun call it or apply it. We can't do that because we can't change the backbone structure without restarting the JVM. So in CL for Java, the function is implemented by Java instance, but not the backbone. And the way we make backbones fun callable is by actually changing fun call in CL for Java. Okay, we bootstrap the system similarly to the way that bootstrapping was described in the Art of the Meta Object Protocol. But we have to build a different structure by hand. They built standard class by hand. We're building this backbone structure that I described before by hand. It's the standard class. It's the root of the meta-circular nature of the MetaObject protocol. Then we, of course, set standard class's link to point back to itself. So that when you ask for the class of standard class, you get standard class. And finally, we create the few meta objects that are above standard class in the hierarchy, such as T and standard object. And then we execute the def class object that represented standard class's information when we defined it by hand. We're using a def class object that we describe in Java to handle the macro layer at this point. When we execute that macro, the standard object, we replace the one we built by hand with the results of having executed the actual def class for standard class. We created a new meta object class, a new meta class, in order to make use of legacy Java code that wasn't written for close. It's called standard Java class. It's a subclass of standard class. And so when you want to bring in Java code that was written elsewhere, you run def class with the name of the class that you're bringing in, and you use the meta class standard Java class as your meta class descriptor in the def class form. That creates a wrapper around the Java object that you intend to use and allows you to incorporate more Java semantics in the protocols that will be used for applying methods and so forth. We had a lot of, we thought, wins and a handful of losses as well when we built the system. I'm going to start with our wins. We're using consistent instantiation with this factory.java interface, just the way that CL for Java had been instantiating non-close objects beforehand. We're hoping to be able to preserve the existing traditions in CL for Java that have been established. Another win was to use existing JVM mechanisms for instantiation and for slot storage, and we did that. The Java programmer can access all of the power of Lisp with our system, and the Lisp programmer can access all of the Java libraries. We also had some losses. One of the losses is that close programmers cannot define Java classes the same way that they define close classes. One example of that is when you define a close class, you typically don't, well, you never define any methods for that class until after the class is fully defined. In Java, that can't happen if you're defining a Java class. So if a close programmer wants to define a Java class, they have to do it differently. They have to define their methods separately outside of the class description. They have to do the same thing when they're redefining Java classes. They can't do it the same way that they redefine close classes. And finally, Java users can't check whether an entity is fun-callable using traditional CL for Java techniques like we'd hope they'd be able to do. Like I mentioned before, fun-callable objects in our close implementation, they become fun-callable due to a change in the fun-call function in CL for Java in order to maintain the same backbone structure even when a class is redefined. So I'm sure you have a lot of questions, and you can start asking them now.
Thank you. Conclusion?
Yeah.
You said that working in 2003.
I'm sorry?
You said you started working on this in 2003.
I did not start, but CL for Java was begun in 2003. I've just spent a semester on it.
You tell us some open source Java recently. Did this help you? Or?
It hasn't helped us yet. No, we haven't taken advantage of that yet. At least not that I know of.
No.
Okay. Questions?
Yeah, let's go.
Why is it a win that you have to go through
We considered it a win because we wanted to maintain the that's the way that people have been doing it in CL for Java all this time. So the Java programmers, you don't have to instantiate. If you're using close, you're right, this isn't very clear. If you're using close, you use make instance, just the way you would always, or you might always instantiate in close. But if you're coming from the Java side, you use the same factory interface that CL for Java programmers have been always using to instantiate things like numbers, things that came before close in CL for Java.
I should point out one interesting thing that we came across when we were looking at multiple inheritance. We were using interfaces to represent the Lisp classes. It turns out, interestingly enough, that interfaces store their super interfaces in exactly the same order as necessary for close. That might have had something to do with there were some Lisp people on the Java definition, or it's just the right thing to do globally. But we don't have to actually carry a list of superclasses as part of the close class, because we can just get it directly from the interfaces.
We still have to do the topological sort on that set of interfaces for each set of super interfaces for each interface. We don't have to maintain that original ordering now. I left 10 minutes for questions. Yeah.
And what's the physical structure of your system? Is it a compiler? Is it various translators? I
don't know. Of CL for Java?
Yes.
It has a compiler, yes. It has a compiler written in Java, actually, compiling the Lisp code. And it's
into
Lisp. Sorry. What is the compiler compiling the...
It compiles Lisp directly to
JVM
bytecodes. We're using the ASM libraries for the code generation. And we're actually finally, by 2008, we'll have a Lisp-based compiler, and we can throw away the bootstrap compiler that has just been, of course, patched and patched and patched, and we can't go any further with it. So.
How do you compile call next method within a def method?
I'm sorry?
How do you compile call next method within a
def method? Well, that's a good question. In close, we're simply defining methods. I mean, if you're trying to call next method with a Java, with something with a meta class, standard Java class, you can't expect it to call next method. Java classes just don't have that facility. We've talked about possibly adding that facility from a Java perspective in the future, but right now in that method chain of call next methods, if there is a standard Java class object in that chain, it's not going to call the next method. And on the close side, if it's meta classes, standard class, we can do it just like we always do it.
Yeah, if we have certain method combinations, you know, like a list, append, things like that. That's okay because it's just going to hit each one. But the standard method combination will get hung up at some point unless the Java class is the last thing that's going to hit.
Ms. Scott?
How well are user-defined meta classes supported?
I think they're supported well. this isn't fully complete. This implementation is the core of close, and so I don't think we know yet how many problems we're going to encounter in situations like Contextel, where you pile up a bunch of meta classes. I hope that they were supported quite well with the infrastructure we've built.
It'll be a great test code.
Test suite.